Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
On the other side, 10 days into 2025, let's continue to talk sports on The Fan in New York, 888-808-1019, as people are gathering information and still in shock by the ending of the Fiesta Bowl. Warren Sharp, I'm on his page. He says that Drew Aller said he was trying to dirt it at his feet as far as the throw that he made downfield that was intercepted, but instead threw a game-changing interception? Nah. Bro, don't do that. Nah. I'm not buying that. You tweet. Do not tell me that you had all the, like, bro, two things with this play. You had all that time, and then you felt the rush coming. Don't tell me that you were trying to throw the ball away 20 yards downfield at the receiver's feet. No one ever taught you to do that. That's not a thing. What are you, you're trying to throw an intentional grounding 20 yards away? What? There's no such thing as a 23-yard intentional grounding. You either take the sack or throw the ball away. That's it. So that doesn't look good on top of the interception, how you handled it in the postgame. Just be accountable. Say it's on me. And I guess he might have. I don't want to say that the kid wasn't accountable. But that quote is laughable. Anybody that has ever watched football, I'm not even going to say anyone that's played football or played the quarterback position, you tried to dirt it at his feet? Come on, son. What are we talking about? Like, as I'm watching this play, he's on the 20-yard line. That ball hits the ground by the 42. That's a 22-yard pass. You're trying to dirt it at his feet? You're trying to intentionally ground the football downfield? That's not a thing. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Just say that you tweaked. You look back at the receiver, and as I am, you know, watching the film right now and kind of like skipping through the play, the pressure got to you, and you tweaked. You could have done anything else. You could have taken the sack. You could have thrown it out of bounds. You could have actually thrown it at your own feet, intentional grounding, and got the penalty. You turned it over. You turned it over and lost the game. 888-808-1019. More embarrassing than the Yankees in the fifth inning of Game 5 of the World Series. Bruce and Flushing, you're back on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. A few things I want to talk about tonight. First, I want to remember Bob Veal, who passed away the other day. You probably never saw him pitch, but he was a tough left-hander, power pitcher, would throw 225 innings a year. One year, I think, was 250. Was like a 17-18 game winner. And you couldn't get comfortable in the box for him because he led the league in walks four times. So there was a power pitcher who didn't exactly know where the ball was going or just did it, was controllably wild, but he was one of the best left-handers in the 60s and early 70s.
Rest in peace. Pittsburgh Pirates, 1962-72. Boston Red Sox, 1972-1974. Two-time All-Star World Series champion. Reading about him right now.
Second point. I was watching the MLB Network this morning with Hot Stove, and they talk about two proposition bets that you might be interested in, because I know you do that sometimes. Bellinger, the over and under for home run total was either 22.5 or 23.5. And I think he's going to hit 30 home runs this year. So that's, I would advise all people. I don't advise them to bet, but if you
maybe take the over. Yeah,
yeah, I'll definitely take the over. You know, and the second thing, the pitcher, the ace, Gerrit Cole, was plus either 1,600 or I'm not sure if this is the correct number, was 6,000
to win the Cy Young.
Cy Young, I would double check on that. But if it's 6,000, that's something I would definitely take a flyer. But I remember if it was either 1,600 or 6,000. But
if he's healthy and he's Gerrit Cole still,
yeah. Just if you get a chance, check on it.
I will, and it's funny you say that because like now we're seeing all these people that hit on their NFL parlays for like the amount of touchdowns and yards and division winners, preseason bets, future bets as they call them. I got to put some future bets in for the Major League Baseball season for sure.
You know, I'm watching our mutual friend, JJ, on the air today, and he's not the only one who said this. But all these people who are going reeling in shock if Miguel Cabrera is a Yankee third baseman this year.
Miguel Cabrera? I'd be really shocked if Miggy can play third base for the Yanks.
Well, I mean,
I know you're talking about Oswaldo Cabrera. I'm joking with you.
No, sorry. But he carried the club for the first 2 months of the year this year. And, you know, you don't have to have an all-star play at every position. It'd be nice. But
I wouldn't say he carried, but he was certainly clutch and contributed more than other players very early on in the year. And then Brendan Cuddy came out with the report today that, you know, believe it or not, I mean, I would believe it, and I don't think that the Yankees are going to move him. But he said sources say teams have checked in with the Yankees on the availability of Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously some people see something else in him too. He's a utility guy, and I think that's what they want from him to be. I think they want him to be a guy. And now you got two utility guys. You got him and DJ. I think he's better than DJ, though.
Well, I think DJ is shot. I mean, that's one person I don't want to see, but I understand the Yankees have a problem because he's making $15 million a year, and they're not going to cut him. On Antonio Pierce, I heard you the other day. I have no problems if he be the defensive coordinator for the Giants, and I will tell you why. One, he was like a coach on the field when he was playing. I know it's not the same thing, but he was calling or the defensive signals when he was playing. Two, I think he ran the defense when he was a coach with Oakland last year, and this year.
I think he was a linebacker's coach.
He originally was a linebacker's coach, but when he became the interim coach, I think he had a hand in the defense. And something about being a Giant, knowing what it is to play in New York, that I think is important sometimes in a coach. And I just think Pierce knows what it's like to be in New York, play on a championship team,
I don't know. With the amount of points that the Giants gave up, with how the spread was and how they consistently got smoked and how they couldn't score points, if I'm Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I would have already fired Shane Bowen. And yeah. I'm out there. That's up there on the list of priorities with finding a quarterback, finding a defensive coordinator. The 1 year they had success, they had Wink Martindale. They need a guy. They need a guy.
And, would you hire
Antonio Pierce. No.
Would you hire the Cincinnati defensive coordinator who just got fired?
No. they came along late, but their defense was part of the main reason they didn't make it. They had Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown, and they couldn't stop a nosebleed.
And last point, I figured out the perfect job for you if you ever get tired of doing radio. I think you would be a perfect host for MLB Network.
What show?
You know, the MLB Tonight Show.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, shout out to MLB Network. I was on Off Base 2 seasons ago. Then I had a baby. I was out of the running completely. And then I popped on a couple times to fill in and do some guest appearances. I don't know. I got to reach out to some of my good folks at MLB Network. Maybe they'll bring me back on. But, you know, I always make a point to say, like, I'm not a baseball nerd. Like, I'm not on Fangraphs. I don't know all the history. I don't know all the X's and O's. maybe I'm a sports nerd. I could talk about every single sport, as people can tell listening to my show for now the fourth year. I could talk every single sport. But, like, I feel like if you're, you know, a solo host on, like, MLB Tonight or even just a co-host, a two-tandem team, you got to know so much baseball. And, you know, I put my hand up and say I'm not that guy. I've taught myself all of these sports. Like, this is, like, I'm self-taught. My dad didn't pass this down to me. My uncles, brothers, nobody was around. Like, I'm not that versed enough to be, you know, like, there are people watching MLB Network that are, like, diehard baseball fans. They know everybody and everything. But I appreciate the comment, Bruce. If I do ever get tired of doing this WFAN show, I'm going to go back to modeling. I'm going to go back to DJing. And I'm going to drop my first mixtape.
Well, just think of this. If Chris Russo can host the show, you can host the show also. Take care.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. If Mad Dog can be on First Take, if Mad Dog can do High Heat, you're damn right I could do those same things. But you know how it is out here. Like, I'm a young guy. You got to put in your time. You know, you gotta pay your dues. It's not what you know, it's who you know. You got to have the right agent. But, you know, I'm an internet guy, too. I got some plans of things that I'm going to do on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok where I won't be hard to find. But, like, I'm still working on this job. I'm still working on delivering an entertaining show and taking calls and mastering this craft. I'm good right now where I'm at here. I do want to get back into television, as I said. I did the MLB Network show. I was blessed for that opportunity. And you know what? That opportunity came from producers at MLB Network listening to me on WFAN. Who is this? Who's this young guy talking about the Yankees? Talking about he was in the fan cave, bringing Mickey Rivers on, bringing Goose Gossage on, bringing Bernie Williams on. Like, who's this young guy talking about baseball like this? And they gave me an opportunity to be on a panel of four on a brand new show, first of his kind, Off Base, which was supposed to be exactly that. Off base a little bit from the regular talking about, you know, Babbitt and ex-WOBA and OPS Plus. Like, I love baseball. I love the Yankees, which really is why I love baseball. But two hands up, I am not in the weeds on numbers and stats and history, and I don't care. Like baseball is one of those sports, too. It rubs me the wrong way when people think that, like, they're better than other fans because they know all that stuff. That doesn't make you cool, bro. Like, that doesn't make you better than anybody else. Let people learn. I learn something new about baseball every single year. And you know what? There's things that I know about the Yankees and about baseball and about Yankee Stadium and the culture of the fans that you don't know, that you can't know, that you can't Google. So, simple as that. 888-808-1019. Justin is in Floral Park. Justin, you're on the Fan.
Keith, Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Just want to give a shout-out to my dad. Today's his 77th birthday at 12
birthday.
O'clock this morning. Big Buffalo Bill fan like me. Let's hope that they can take care of the Broncos. It's going to be tough with Bo Nix, but I think they're going to find a way up there, and we'll see what happens. I just got back to the Devils Ranger game with my daughter. Great game. Could have gone either way. The Rangers definitely needed that win, Keith. And shout-out to Marcus Freeman with Notre Dame, man. What a performance. After they lost to Northern Illinois, that guy was going to lose his job. Now he's in the national championship game, Keith. It is unbelievable. One thing, if I can, you know, the afternoon drive, giving a lot of shout-outs to Josh Allen, giving him a lot of digs, saying he's unlikable, he's got a punchable face. Are they, like, watching the same NFL that I know you and I watch?
I don't know. I didn't hear that. I know Evan has to talk about Sean McDermott.
Yeah, he's a Jet troll. Yeah, the Sean McDermott comments. First of all, he doesn't know Sean McDermott, okay? Guy said something wrong once. Like, Evan Roberts never said anything wrong in his life. Like,
yeah, Evan Roberts is going to bring it up every chance that he gets. Proudly. I wasn't listening. I didn't hear what they said about Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen.
I do, too. And listen, as far as the MVP goes, to me, it's Josh Allen's award to win. If they don't have Josh Allen, the Bills win two games. If Lamar's out for the Baltimore, they still win six, seven games. That's just the way I look at it, MVP to me, okay? So we'll see what happens. I think the Bills will find a way to win this game. Western New York's going to be pumped, ready to roll. Just run the ball with Cook. Use these receivers. Keon Coleman, I think, is going to have a huge breakout, and I think they're ready to do it, Keith. I really think this is the year that they're going to the Super Bowl. I just feel it in my
defense,
heart.
Justin, the defense.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
The defense scared the hell out of me. I had a huge parlay, and the last leg was for them to beat the Rams.
We talked about it. Keith, that's regular season, though. Von Miller comes to play when the money's on the line, Keith. He does. Matty Milano's
yeah,
getting
back. Yeah, I want to see DeMar Hamlin win a Super Bowl. I want to see Matt Milano win a Super Bowl. I'm rolling
saying.
With the Bills.
I hear you, man. I respect you as a Cowboy fan, dude. Your team was great. Guys ruined my childhood. But, Keith, this team is a likable team. So I don't know what those morons are talking about in the afternoon drive. That's Marash and Roberts. I hope they're listening because I cannot
they're
wait.
They're not listening.
I was on hold. I was on hold for 2 hours trying to call those clowns, and they didn't put me through.
Thanks for the call, Justin. I can't let you do that. I can't let you call my guys morons and clowns. You know, that just takes it a step too far. I didn't hear what they were talking about. I've been having some trouble sleeping, and I have a baby, and it's been hella cold out. And like I said, I'm working on some things with YouTube and my own social media and my own life. I'm not always plugged in every second of the day to WFAN. I can't be. I have some responsibilities and things. But I'm sorry that whatever they said ruffled your feathers as a Bills fan and rubbed you the wrong way. But I can't let that continue. I can give you my opinion. I can share my thoughts on Josh Allen, who I've talked about a ton this year. Man, I was watching this video today about Josh Allen's torque and hip motion and how he changed his throwing motion from his rookie year, where his completion percentage was like 50%. Like, man, I love this kid's game. So much so, I question how much did Shane and Dable have, or really Dable have to do. And I give Dable his props because it was 4 years. And I think Josh Allen would say, sure, he helped my development. But Josh Allen is a freak of nature. Talk about put the team on his back. I knew Jets fans celebrated Stephon Diggs being traded away and not being on the team anymore as if the Bills are going to take a step back. Hell no. I'm like, no, now you get that guy out of the huddle, Josh Allen can distribute the pills to whoever he wants. Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Dalton Kincaid, or Dawson Knox, or whoever. He runs the ball in. When they get into the red zone, it's automatic. It's automatic because he will literally run the ball in. How did they beat the Chiefs this year? I'm not giving you the ball back. I'm just going to run it. Bro, this guy married or at least proposed to Haley Steinfeld this year. Come on. How can you hate Josh Allen? So I don't know anything about a punchable face. I saw Josh Allen at the World Series. Josh Allen was a guest of Major League Baseball. He was in the party suites. The party suites at the World Series this year. I also was a guest. Shout out to MLB. Shout out to my guys over there. I won't leak the names of my guys at Major League Baseball that I've been running with since I was in the MLB fan cave and such. But, you know, they looked out for your boy. They made sure your boy was in there with A Boogie and all these guys from Adam Pac-Man Jones to Jimmy Rollins to Adam Sandler. Like, I was next to Adam Sandler. And Josh Allen was in there. And I remember seeing a video. Someone's like, where the hell did they put Josh Allen in the 300 level? No, dum-dums. The party suites that are up in right field, they're elevated. And, yeah, you can be in there with all the free food and drinks. And then when you step out to the seats, it looks like you're in the 300 level. Josh Allen made sure to come see the Yankees in the World Series. Josh Allen, I think, will win the MVP because I think we're going to get a little bit of Embiid, Jokic type of stuff going on where it's like, we can't give Lamar his third MVP. That team struggled a little bit. And, I mean, the numbers aren't close. If you're just going numbers, it's Lamar. But I think when you talk about most valuable player, how valuable that man is, not just to his teammates, but to his fans, that city, that franchise, man, am I rooting for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to knock off the Chiefs, knock off the Ravens or whoever else is standing in their way, Bo Nix, Sean Payton, and the Buffalo Bills, and bring a championship, a Super Bowl. My pick is Bills over Lions, and the Bills bring a Super Bowl back to Buffalo. And newsflash for you, I know it's damn near Canada, but the Buffalo Bills play in New York. We can root for them as New Yorkers and New York fans. Steve is in Rockville Center on the Fan. You're up next, Steve. You got it.
Geez, what's going on, man? I hope you had a happy holidays and all that stuff.
Of course. You as well.
I'm calling with a plea for you, for all the other guys who work at the Fan. You got to do us Giant fans a favor here. You got to go all out scorched earth. I mean, I watched the press conference the other day from Mara to Shane and Dabo, and this is the impression I got. You tell me if I'm being paranoid, that's fine. I think that Mara came out and thought to himself, look, I'm not firing a GM again. He probably called in back Childs and said, let me call Vrabel, let me call Belichick, Ben Johnson, you want to come here? And they all said, no way am I coming under a lame duck GM regime. And then he came out and took the safe route, which is, well, I guess we have no choice.
Steve, I don't even think he's doing that. I don't think he's calling anybody to check about what they think about Joe Shane.
So then how in God, this was the worst season in the history of the franchise.
Embarrassing. Terrible. In 100 years of Giants football, the worst season.
That's what I'm saying. How could they, like, what metric are they deciding to bring this guy back?
Analogy or metaphor I made either on Monday or Tuesday, whenever I had the last five-hour show. Mara is literally being held hostage by Shane and Dable. You could tell from Hard Knocks. That's Joe Shane's team. Hard Knocks was all about Joe Shane, and Brian Dable's got his feet on the table. Those guys are holding the Giants hostage. So the metaphor or analogy I made is like, the Giants are John Mara. He's the owner. The Giants are John Mara's Maybach, an expensive car. And he's in the back seat of the Maybach letting Shane drive it and letting Dable sit passenger. And they're deciding where to go and what to do. And he's in the back like, hey, we missed an exit. You didn't see exit 26? Says Saquon Barkley. I told you guys I wouldn't sleep well if Saquon Barkley went to the Eagles. That was the one thing I said I didn't want to happen. You let that happen. I bet you he said a bunch of different things during the year as well, but he's so quiet and soft-spoken and old, and he's a prisoner to his own mistakes. Hiring and firing coaches. He doesn't want to do it again. He doesn't want to go on a surge. So now he's practicing patience, which he told you when the movie premiere for his father came out earlier in the season, that he's practicing patience with these guys. I knew they were safe then. Why? This is New York. This is the NFL. Like, Robert Kraft came out and fired the hand-picked heir to Bill Belichick's throne. He fired him hours after the game.
Keith, if they sit there, I don't care who the quarterback is. If they draft the quarterback, we both know the Giants are going to stink next year. Then the new regime that's going to come in, they're going to saddle this guy, and he's only going to hire a coach and a GM who says,
Steve, there's not going to be a new regime. They're going to draft a quarterback in the second round or trade up in the first round, and that's going to buy them another 3 years. And they're not going to win. That strength of schedule next year, I don't care what anyone tells you. They have a bunch of playoff teams. You think it was hard enough for them to get one win at MetLife this year? They've got all playoff teams coming to MetLife next year. Teams that have coaches, quarterbacks, offenses, and defenses.
Do you think if they go 3-14 next year, they're not going to fire these guys?
No, because they'll sell you on, we got this rookie quarterback, and I don't want to do what I did to Daniel Jones, and we got to give him another year to develop, and we knew this year was going to be tough. And I think they'll win more than three games because they have guys like Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy and Drew Phillips and Tyler Newbin, and you know they'll add more guys in free agency. I think that they'll win more than three games, but ultimately they're not going to the playoffs. They're not going to compete like that.
I think I could see a season like this year again where, first off, I hear what you're saying about the late round pick and that it could theoretically buy them time because if he shows any modicum of progress, they could say, hey, look, we give us one more year, we're on the right track. But, I mean, I barely watch the Giants. I'm 40 years old. I've been watching the Giants since I was 6 years old. I didn't even wait. By week six, I was done. I don't even watch. I was going apple picking, Keith, on Sunday.
Once they shut down Daniel Jones, you knew he was the best quarterback in the room, and that was saying a lot. Thanks for the call, Steve. I'm sorry, Giants fans. John Mara is a prisoner in his own building. Shane and Dable are running the show. They got away like rascals. Brian Dable, I didn't see him smile all year. He is one of, man, let me go back to my notes from Monday because I was hitting y'all with the facts and the stats. That guy survived back-to-back terrible seasons and laughed about it. And then Shane had the audacity to talk about, I wouldn't change anything. No, I never wavered, never thought my job was at risk. What? Excuse me, say what? Come out and just admit fault. Like, Just have some accountability, bro. You didn't think they're flying planes over the stadium asking for you to be fired. You didn't waver from your job? Yeah, because you knew John Mara wasn't going to fire you. You knew that you had talked this guy down so much and sold this guy on a dream. And the next thing they're going to do is draft a quarterback, and that's going to extend them. That's going to give them a little bit more time. So hold on, folks. I mean, it is what it is. 888-808-1019. As I'm trying to find the stat right now, Jordan Renan said, how rare is it the opportunity for Brian Daboll to get a fourth year after winning just three games in year three? It's happened only twice since 1980. Bruce Coslett went 3-13 in 99. David Shula 3-13 in 95. Both were with Cincinnati. Brian Daboll made history surviving that. 888-808-1019. Mark is in Westchester. Mark, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, man. Listen, I like you a lot. And you're very fair. You're a good person. Your conversation skills are great. My only issue is when you start, like, bragging about access to Josh Allen.
Oh, you mad because I'm styling on you?
No, I'm not. I'm a journalist myself, and I get access myself.
I'm not a journalist.
Normal people, what are you?
I'm a radio host. This is a radio station. 888-808-1019 is WFAN. What are you talking about, bro? You mad because
I
flex?
It's throwing it in people's faces. It's like you have access, and I understand that. But when you talk about it, the average person doesn't have that access. So it kind of, I don't know. It's not really about you and your access.
To you, Mark. What else do you know about me, Mark? What else you know about me, Mark?
I think you're a good person, man. I think you're great. You're a great host and all that stuff.
How did I get this access, Mark?
By being a successful person on the air. I mean, you are kind of...
No. So the example you use, right? Me talking about being with Josh Allen in the Major League Baseball party suites during the World Series. You think they put me in there because I'm WFAN host Keith McPherson? I told you what happened. I was in the MLB fan cave in 2014. I've been connected to people in Major League Baseball. I was on MLB Network in 2022. There was nobody else from... Was there anybody else from WFAN in those suites?
I know you earned it, but because you have that access, like, talking about it, and, like, average people can't relate.
I'm not trying to relate. I'm not... Mark, go to bed. Or you might be tossing and turning and lose sleep at night that I'm somebody that came from nothing. That I'm somebody that grew up in a two-bedroom apartment with four people. My mommy and daddy didn't put me anywhere. I had to get it out of the mud. I'm still grinding every single day. The access that I have is earned, not given. So if the average person can't relate to someone being absolutely broke and poor, using their athleticism to go to college and get an education, taking that education and grinding every single day, doing everything in their power to win and actually winning, if you can't relate to that, that's on you. 888-808-1019. You should be inspired. You should think about that. You should think about, damn, how did this guy get to go to the World Series for free? Get to be in a suite where Adam Sandler and Josh Allen are? Because I worked for it. I grinded for it. Nothing was given to me. WFAN didn't put me in there. My relationships put me in there. The type of person I am put me in there. I didn't even have to ask. Someone blessed me with that opportunity because they're like, this is something that would be nice for Keith McPherson. I know Keith is a diehard Yankee fan. I know Keith is going to be here. Let me get Keith in here. Keith should be in this room with these type of people. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. Call a Fan. I'll be right back.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Something for y'all to cut up to, you know? Yeah. Everybody get your
ball on. Yes, sir. All right, my last probably 20 minutes or so on the Fan tonight. Shout out to you if you listen from 8:30 to now, a little bit after 12:30. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Just an average Joe, just an average guy. Worked a little harder than the average guy. a little more talented than the average guy, but not bigger or better or greater than any average person. If you listen to my show last night, man, I was going through how I even got here in year four. I was breaking down all the things that I did, the struggles that I had, second-guessing myself, making a career change from being a social media manager in this city to absolutely going for it. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw the video that I put out last night that I referenced of me just being just so down and so out and saying, F it, man. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make something out of myself. Like, I'm going to actually chase my dream. I went to school for radio and television. I want to be on the radio. I want to be on television. I did it. I did it. At Keith_McPherson on Twitter. That video is from December 19th, 2019. You know what? A month before that, I had gotten into an accident driving Lyft Uber. I was at a light where somebody was on their phone, hit the car behind me into my car hit into the car that was at the front light. After that, I never drove Lyft Uber again. I have over 700 Lyft Uber rides under my belt. I had a job that I was sure I was getting. Like, I did all this last night, man. I just, that call, the last call, for you to call and think that I'm trying to throw into people's faces that I went to the World Series and I was in a suite with celebrities. Shout out to Brad, shout out to Dan, shout out to Major League Baseball, who has looked out for me for over a decade. You think I'm trying to throw that into the average Joe's face? Nah, if anything, like, that should inspire you. If you knew anything about me, if you listened to my show last night, which you probably didn't, you probably sleep, but you caught me because this is the radio. Some people catch you one night, they don't catch you the next night, but nah, I know I have some core listeners now, year four on the Fan, that they listened last night. To me talking about how I struggled, man, how I just, you know, had to fight in this city. It's the hardest place in the world to make it. And now that I've made it, the hardest thing is to keep making it. And I will. 888-808-1019. I'm not trying to dump on anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about themselves. No way. I'm not like that at all. If anything, like I said last night, I'm telling my story for the person out there that's in a job that they don't want to be in anymore. For the person that's out there that wants to be on the radio, be on TV, make something out of themselves more than what they have, that you can do it. But you got to look in the mirror and decide you want to do it and go for it. And that it wasn't a rocket ship for me. Nobody helped me. Nobody sent a rope down. Nobody put my name on top of other resumes. Even getting in here, it takes work. And my work and the person I am and the relationships that I've built have put me into places where I have access. I'm not a journalist. I didn't go to school and major in journalism. I majored in communication, radio and television, and I've been on TV a bunch of times. And I'm on the radio every night in the hardest place in the world to do it. Thank God. Thank God for that. Tony in Montreal on the Fan again. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith? Listen to me. I want to just say something to your last caller, okay? You know, bro, I listened to you from Montreal because I think you're great. And I'm 65, and I've seen everybody. And if I'm going to listen to someone, I want to listen to someone that can speak to me, that's down to earth, that's not condescending, and that's going to relate to anybody that's going to call across the whole world. Like, that's where you're going to get people. People are going to listen to you because you're good. And that guy is a little envious, okay? If you make it on the Fan, you're like playing for the Yankees, as far as I'm concerned. It's like making the Montreal Canadiens 24 Stanley Cups or make it on, like, the Yankees. Those are the two top teams in professional sports in North America. You're on the same type of level, okay? You don't have to apologize to anybody for your success, okay? And a lot of people that are listening to me right now are lunch bucket guys like me that every day they succeed because they make a paycheck and they don't try to be bigger than their britches. They just go home and do what they have to do and they have to be real. And then on the weekend we cheer for the Jets or we cheer for our favorite guys, and sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But you know what? Having this kind of a conversation, it's more like seeing a therapist calling you in and talking about things, because you're not just ruminating in your own mind. It's like I'm doing therapy with you. I call you in. You give me the privilege. It's a privilege to talk to you guys. Do you understand? You don't owe anybody anything, bro. Okay? If you made it, You stay there, and you work the way you said you work.
Yes, sir.
I don't need to hear it. I can hear you in your voice. You're authentic.
Thank you, Tony. Great call. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, but, like, I understand. Like I said, oh, you mad because I'm styling on you. You don't like the way I'm flexing. Yeah, there was a time where I couldn't flex, bro. I've collected unemployment. I've been dead ass broke. Like I said, mommy and daddy didn't put me here, man. Now that I have a kid, I'm working my ass off so that I can show my kid something, give my kid something, use my name and put my kid on. You know how hard it is? I'm black. I grew up in a single parent household. Like, you know how hard it is to overcome the obstacles that I had to overcome to get here? And you're mad that I'm telling you that I was at the World Series in the celebrity suite? I gave away tickets to the World Series. I literally gave away tickets to... I ain't got enough time for it. Can we get back to talking about stuff? Popcorn, Rob, get your popcorn ready out in Babylon. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, man, first and foremost, thank you for taking my call, man. Happy New Year's, man, to you, your wife, as well as little Jack Mack. So what I wanted to say, Keith, I want to comment on two things. One, I want to first say this. I kind of do understand where Juan Soto was speaking about the family value. And you know what it is? It's not so much that people are, deliberately, out there in the stands and, disrespecting his family or whatever like that. But it's the things that we as fans and how critical that we are as being Yankee fans or being New York fans, period. Because around this country, right, there's no other organization that has critical fans such as we New Yorkers, man. We're embedded into this sports thing. So a lot of times these guys can go to these other organizations and they don't feel as much pressure, when it comes to not succeeding, their fans. And so, and these guys, like the Mets, they do more or less, that you don't really hear too much on the radio when the players are not doing good. You don't really hear the critique, things that, outcome or results as to why, these guys losing and stuff like that. You don't hear that with other fans. But with us, we crucify these guys. And so they don't want
to,
it's
hard to make it here. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Right. And so that's why I do realize and I do believe not only that, I've always said that, Juan Soto probably wanted to make his own, his own platform to where he is the leader. He's the man. Aaron Judge, obviously, is the face of the New York Yankees. And they can't have two face men. You understand what I'm saying? So I guess he wanted to just have his own platform where he could be the face and he can, be the man or the captain.
Understood, Rob. Thanks for the call. I think, though, we're getting away from what Ray said and then I forget what his name was who called in about the whole family thing that was pitched during the press conference by Juan Soto. That was the hot word. I thought they were going to play, "We are family." Like every other sentence was, family. Yeah, the family, my family. It's such a family feel to my family. And I felt like that was a key word that was fed to him by Boris. Hey, make it about family. Make it about family. And don't you dare say anything about money. Almost so that with all the reports and rumors about Juan Soto's mom and all these other things that went on with security and the Yankees were not they tried to make it the Yankees security and the Yankees rules and protocol stopped family members from being with the players, which everybody came out to, knock that down, but that's what happens in negotiations. And Juan Soto himself came out to say that wasn't true. But Juan Soto had to make it about, the family vibe and culture. That's what was most appealing about the Mets, because he absolutely couldn't come out and just say, "It's all about the money." Ross in Bergen County, back on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you, Ross?
I'm doing all right. I mean, real quick, I can't believe we got 2 points off you guys tonight. In the grand scheme of things, it really don't mean a damn thing. But
hey, take it, man. You needed it.
I'd be lying if I said it don't feel better when it's against you guys. I see guys like Pasha and Brat Pack.
It's a rivalry, you know, man. Drink those devil's tears for the night. Enjoy it.
Well, apparently we won our Stanley Cup in January. If this is celebrating a Stanley Cup, I want to know what the hell last December was when you guys won. Holy hell. I mean, I felt like I was going to go on for a month. But anyway, Sam Carrick, OT winner. That wasn't on my bingo card, but regardless. I heard you bring up Belichick before, and I actually saw you tweet it out, too. He made the Bergen County tour today. One of those stops was my stop and Grant's, Don Bosco Prep. Shout out to the school. I didn't actually see him in the flesh, but he was in, like, the coach's room and stuff. Actually, man, the people, it's funny because a couple years ago we had James Franklin, you know, kind of man of the hour tonight. Yeah, like he came down. He was like he came in on like a chopper, landed on our 50-yard line like he was like some sort of superhero. Belichick was just walking through the hallways like he was, you know, just some Joe Schmo.
I was telling somebody today, Joe Paterno came to my school when I was in high school. My boy Louis Iliadis, who played left tackle for me, blocked for me my whole high school career. He went to Penn State, right. And Joe Paterno did the same thing. Tried to walk around our high school. They had to make an announcement, stay in your classrooms. Like, it's crazy. And you know, with Bill Belichick, shout out to Coach Latrella, who calls too. Usually he'll start the call, be like, what up, eight? Like, Coach Latrella sent me some pictures of Bill Belichick. He was at Paramus Catholic. So I guess for now, we can stop the rumor of Tom Brady bringing Bill Belichick to the Raiders, because this guy is on a full-on recruiting trail in New Jersey at the top football schools to try and bring kids to UNC.
Well, that's the thing. It feels like one of the, you know, I was just talking to Rami behind the glass. I couldn't even think of the word recruit when talking about Bill Belichick. This feels like one of the, and you just brought up Brady. There was talks about the Raiders. Hell, there was even the report about, you know, he had legitimate interest calling up Woody and company, and they said no. They, you know, they shut the door on him. So any rumors, any talks about him potentially coming back, I think this kind of puts it in the books, and it's crazy, you know, all those years of tormenting local Jet fans, and one of the first stops he makes is Northern Jersey. So, I mean, that was crazy. And like you say, you know, well, Paterno was a big deal, even Franklin at, you know, CFP level, but I couldn't even put two and two together that, you know, this guy may be somewhat of a name in college, but the most winningest head coach in NFL history was walking through our multiple schools hallways today. I mean,
of course.
It's unfathomable.
Thanks for the call, Ross. That's what you got to do. You got to bring those smart, good football players down to UNC, a smart school, where they're trying to get better at football. Bob is down in Savannah, Georgia on the Fan in New York. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Keith. How you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Keith, I was just wondering if you had any idea why the NFL moved that game to Phoenix Monday night instead of, first of all, I should send out my prayers and condolences to the people of L.A. County.
Yes.
But I'm concerned, why they didn't move it to Allegiant Stadium in Vegas? That's a shorter distance drive from L.A. than it would be to Phoenix for those fans.
You know, I have a friend that was texting me today. There's a convention going on in Vegas at that dome. And they do a lot of events there at Allegiant Stadium. So maybe they had a conflict and they probably scheduled this to go out to Arizona. And I think it was just a simple thing like that. Like maybe nothing was being planned in Arizona. I'll tell you this, the Raiders knew they had no plans of being in the playoffs. There was some point in time that the Cardinals thought maybe they'd be hosting. Thanks for the call, Bob. 888-808-1019. Yeah, my sister lives out in West Hollywood. I've been watching, like, I was up till 4 a.m, fell in a rabbit hole with these fires out there in L.A. I was praying last night for her and everyone out there. It's absolutely insane. And what's even more insane is there are sick people that are being arrested now for arson that went out there adding to the fire. I don't know what is going on. Let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey. Chris, you're on the Fan next.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, first-time caller, but a long-time listener. Just wanted to say I had no idea what that clown before was talking about. But, you know, you're one of the most notable guys in the industry, in my opinion, you know, especially coming from someone on the younger side. You know, I've been a fan of yours, you know, since the MLB Fan Cave through John Boy, you know, Pinstripe Strong with Joe's McFly.
Mm-hmm.
All those days, you know, it's been cool to see your journey, and if anything, you deserve all the success that's come your way. You know, And yeah, and just wanted to.
I appreciate it, man. That's what I said to Mark from Westchester. I'm like, do you know anything about me? And Chris, clearly you do.
Yeah. I mean, like, you just can't listen to these haters. Some people just love to hate.
People always ignore the haters, Keith. I'm like, man, I'm built for them, Chris. Thanks for the call, man. Like, you know, that's the thing, too. I know that I'm on the radio now, but I didn't just fall out of the sky. Like, it took a lot to get here, and there are plenty of people that have come along for the ride prior to that are like, nah, like, you're just getting a load of this guy. I was listening to podcasts. I was watching his, like, I don't have to talk about myself. Shout out to Chris, though, in Bloomfield for even mentioning the podcast and being with John Boy. Like, I talked about that stuff literally last night. Nikki is in Jersey City. That's where I stay. What's up, Nikki?
Hey, Keith. Just giving you a shout out. I'm a really big fan of yours. I listen to you nearly every night. I was thrilled that you actually made it onto the day shift the other day. It was nice to hear your voice a little longer than when I had to go to bed. I'm really just calling because that guy was a jackass, and he burned my ass, and I just want you to know. I listen to you. I know you fought hard to get where you are. I know you're a Jersey guy. You sound like a really down-to-earth kind of guy. And I don't know where he's coming off with that stuff. And I just wanted to give you a shout-out. By the way, I did watch the game tonight. Tremendous Yankee fan. Big sports fan. I listen all day, every day, when I can. You're the best. And I got friends that agree. I will really hope one day.
I think she heard the music come on and she stopped.
I did. I'm so sorry. Yes, sorry. I don't know what happened there.
You're still alive.
We hope to hear you more often on the fan. Day shift and all that is where I was going. That's it.
Thank you, Nikki. Yeah, my bad. I'll keep it to myself, the things that I've earned and the places that my life has taken me. But, you know, I can't. A lot of this is storytelling. All that started from me talking about Josh Allen. That's the only time I ever seen Josh Allen. He was in Yankee Stadium. I've seen a lot of famous people in Yankee Stadium. And I will continue to. If you're on hold, stay on hold. C-Max coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.